All right, so welcome. Welcome to this coaching call for August 2nd. As you can see, we're trying Zoom out. We're basically have moved to this new platform. We think it's going to give us some benefits that that Instant Teleseminar couldn't give us. One of the biggest is really a more seamless process. Maybe not today, as we're still kind of testing it out. But as we get used to this, I think you're going to see some big improvements. So in terms of streamlining the questions, the chat area is where we're going to keep questions and where we're going to have some interaction. Of course, I'll bring you guys in as needed. But there's one place to submit questions and provide feedback and all that good stuff, and that is the chat area. So just make sure you know where that is. And when you look at your Zoom screen at the bottom, one of the options is chat. The other thing is this will enable us to make these calls a bit more interactive and also add some visual elements to it. And that's not going to happen right away. But you'll see that as we progress. One thing I wanted to let you know about, and this I don't like this about Zoom. When you first join, there's at the bottom left of the screen, there's a join audio, which of course you guys want to do that. But then there's a start video icon. The reason I don't like that. Those words, start video, is a lot of people when they join, they think, oh, there's video to this. Let me start it. No, we know what it does is it turns on your camera on your computer. So don't click the start video. Otherwise, you're going to suddenly be on candid camera. And if I see you, what I'll do is I'll just turn off your video. Not that I don't want to see you. It's just it'll be a little distracting, and you know, just in case you haven't shaved today or put makeup on or anything like that, then we don't have any of that going on. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. And what I'd like to do, as usual, is start with your wins of the week. What have been your biggest wins? And again, guys, a win can be anything you feel good about, any kind of progress, big or small. Some examples include moving along through the program. Maybe you got a good insight while you're going through one of the sessions. You finalize your positioning. Anything along those lines, anything you feel good about, type in a big W, capital W in the chat area, colon, and then let me know. Type in your big win. Let us know. We'd love to celebrate the good stuff happening in your business. Capital W in the chat area, and then your win. All right, Michael says, win, session two, positioning done and good. Awesome. Love it. Congrats. That's a big step. I tell you, that positioning stuff is no joke. It's part of the process. It's a painful part of the process many times. Wins. Type in a capital W and let us know. Betty says, my win is having first prospecting list done with contact information. All right. Ready to send first emails tomorrow. Oh, that's great, Betty. Keep us posted. Let us know how it goes. Some of you guys have been letting us know. Two or three of you have just started that process this week and just feel really encouraged. It's so cathartic to get those emails out. It can be scary as well, for sure. But part of the getting through that fear is just to get them out the door. Rochelle says, sent out my first batch of emails and had my copy proofread. Fantastic, Rochelle. And I saw your post about, thanks for letting us know you got them out there. And isn't it a great feeling, right? You've already got some responses back. Sometimes it doesn't really matter what kind of response you get. It's just the fact that you've got them out the door and that people are reading them. That's just so encouraging. Randy says, my win is website copy submitted after Ed's review with new positioning. Awesome. Way to go. Way to go, Randy. Monique says, I reach out to a prospect on LinkedIn and she said she wants to chat about my services. There you go. Wow. Look at you. Monique, way to get it done. All right. So again, guys, W, capital W, with your wins, anything you feel good about, anything you feel you're making progress on, insight, making progress with your website, you got a key breakthrough, a prospect responded, anything along those lines definitely counts as a win. Let us know in the chat area. Let's move into lessons, biggest lessons. So I want you to go back into the chat box and type in a capital L as in lessons. And next to it, I want you to type in a good lesson you've learned over the past week or so. Do that right now. Just let me know, capital L, big lesson you've learned. Here again, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be even related to your business. It could be about maybe a setback you had that contained a good lesson when you think about it more broadly. Any lesson learned in your business or your business launch or not, doesn't really matter. And by the way, hey, Linda, welcome. Corey, good to see you here. Just noticed that you joined. For some reason, it's putting you guys as you join into a waiting room. So I'm having to kind of monitor that and make sure that I let everybody in. So I'll have to look into that. All right, don't be shy, guys. Lessons learned. Any lesson learned over the past week? Let me know in the chat area, capital L. That way I know what it is. Lesson learned. And while I'm waiting, let me go over the way we're going to do questions. And this is very similar to what we did last week. Okay, so I wanted to try it last week. And as we're shifting over to Zoom. So what I'd like to do is if you have a question, if you need feedback on anything, go ahead and type in a capital Q in the chat area. Q for question, obviously. And next to it, I want you to ask me a very specific and detailed question. Say something I can answer in 3 to 5 minutes. Keep your question tight and specific because that's going to help me give you the best possible answer and feedback. If it's too broad, then we really need to break that down. So give me something very specific. And if it applies, give me a couple of options you're considering. That way I know how you're thinking about the challenge and I can give you something that's going to be really useful. Now just make sure to hit enter once you type it in. Hit enter to make sure that it goes through. And again, in the chat area, Q. And in terms of ground rules, just pretty straightforward. I want to make sure that everyone gets the feedback and the answers they need. So let's keep it to one question per person. I can always come back to you toward the end, but I want to make sure everyone gets a shot. And the other thing I've already mentioned, just keep your question and feedback item focused and specific. All right, so some lessons here from you guys. Corey said, big lesson, plan ahead before going on vacation to keep the prospecting going. Too hard to get going again after getting back. Yeah, I know the feeling. Something I do that helps me is, because even after 3 or 4 days, I kind of lose track of where I left off, is before I leave, I'll write down some very simple instructions for me when I get back. So when I get back, I can just look at my notes and say, oh, okay, so this is what I'm supposed to do next. Now I remember. Otherwise, kind of getting back into it can be really confusing. All right, Monique says, I listened to your podcast with Jennifer Gregory and got some new ideas to look for prospects that were so simple, but a big eye opener. Good stuff. Glad that was helpful. Randy says, big lesson, reach out to Facebook forum on a daily basis and be more involved, even if it's just type 5. Awesome. Yeah, would love that, Randy, anytime. It's a great place to get encouragement, encourage others. I know people really appreciate it. And if you pay it forward, you know, that always comes back to you. Jim says, lesson is the value of momentum. So true. Rochelle says, lesson, focus on making more money with less time to live my best life with my family. Absolutely. That's why it's one of the first things I say. I help freelancers earn more in less time. I mean, to me, at the end of the day, that's really what we're looking for, right? Because if you're earning more and less time, then you have that flexibility. You can cut things back without impacting your income, for instance. All right, so here's what I'm going to do, too. I'm going to bring in Susan. Hey, Susan, just wanted to say hi so you can say hi to everybody as well. How's
Hello
it going?
There. Great, great. It's Thursday, and it's the first Thursday in August. Wow, how did that happen?
I know, it's crazy. I remember the other day, I was just saying, guys, it's July 1st. We're like halfway through the year, and that felt like 3 days ago.
Blasted through. So very good. All good. I saw a comment. I'm just going to go back to real quick. I think it was Randy made a comment about Zoom. He said, have you used Zoom yet to record a prospect's audio interview? Seems like this is a tool to do that and save a transcript. As a ghostwriter, I do that all the time. I use Zoom. I record interviews and conversations with my clients, and then I either send them to a transcribing service or I do it myself. But yeah, great tool, and it's not super, super expensive when you get to that. Not something you need to focus on right now, but kind of file it away and keep it in the back of your mind for when you start rolling with more clients.
Yeah, I love how professional it is. Mm. It's just, it's kind of neat, and it's pretty, and it's becoming very common out there. Like, people know how to use it. They're
absolutely,
you know, right.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Another option that you can go with is that's more on the, if when you're bootstrapping, is freeconferencecall.com. And it's got the recording capability, and it's pretty slick and very reliable. But that's good, I think, when you're starting out. Once you get going and you're trying to go after better paying clients and you got revenue coming in,
right.
I like using a paid service just because it doesn't announce to your client, hey, welcome to freeconferencecall.com.
Yeah.
You know, meaning
exactly.
Like free, this is free.
Yeah. Exactly.
It absolutely works, and it's great when you're starting out, but later you want to kind of elevate your positioning.
Absolutely.
All right. Good stuff. Well, good to have you here, Susan. And I saw that Francis joined us as well. All right. So let's get started with questions. So again, if you have a question, I got a couple already in, and one that was pre-submitted, just type in a capital Q. And then type in your question. As a reminder, keep it specific, keep it focused, so I can give you the best, Susan and I can give you the very best feedback and answer. But you can do that at any time in the chat area. Just click on chat, you'll see the window there, and just type it in. One other thing that I wanted to mention, because a couple of you asked, how now that we're moving to Zoom, can you pre-submit questions? Is that still available? Absolutely. So it hasn't changed in that each call still has its own page. The login information for Zoom, everything is there, dial numbers and so forth, and the link to the Zoom meeting is there. But there's also a field where you can pre-submit a question. So I will also address these here. Here's what I ask, though. If you know you're going to be on the call, it's best if you don't pre-submit. And I know that goes maybe a little bit against what I've said in the past, but I'm trying to reserve pre-submitted questions for those who can't be here during the live call, because if you can be here, I think I can give you much better feedback, and we can even have some dialogue live as opposed to pre-submitting. And let's reserve that for those who aren't going to be able to make it to the call. But yeah, you can always do that, and there's a field there. It's pretty self-explanatory. All right, let's go to Colleen. She had a question. She said, in session 8 and on these calls, you talk about nurturing your not yet ready list of prospects by sending them useful content. How do I know what content my target market, which is water and wastewater industry, will find useful? Yeah, great question. So two things, Colleen. And by the way, for those of you guys who are not at session 8 yet, don't worry. But I think this will still help you. So you can kind of think ahead and you'll know what you're going to be doing. So one of the things you want to do is you always want to, with prospects who are not yet ready to hire you. So let's say it's even some mild interest, something to the effect of, hey, we don't currently use an outside writer, but I'll keep your information handy, or we're already working with somebody. So thanks, but no thanks. Those prospects show promise at some point, however mild the promise might be, but it's just a timing issue. Not today. There's no need today. And what most writers do is they just move on and they forget about them. You don't want to do that. Some of your best opportunities will come from those kind of prospects who at the time, they just didn't have a need. But if you stay top of mind, if you stay in touch, there's a decent possibility that at one point they're going to be able to engage you, be able to hire you. So I teach a very simple process where you can stay in touch without being a pest. And the whole idea is to share content in a very low-key way. Hey, I came across this the other day. I thought you might find it useful or interesting. And it's such a natural, organic way to stay in touch with people, and so different from the way most others do, that that it helps you be memorable. It helps you stay top of mind. So the question is, well, how do I know what to send? Here's one thing that you guys need to be aware of. It's not so much about picking the best content and more about being different, okay? If you understand that, then the content is not really as important in terms of stressing out over what I send and what I find. Just something that at first glance feels relevant is fine. The fact that you sent it and you sent it that way really is 80-90% of the value of this activity. So let's go back to, well, what, give me an idea. What could it be? Because I know that Colleen is wanting to know, well, how do I know what they're going to find useful? If you're going after marketers, which I mean, I think you are, then just anything related to content marketing. You want something that's related to what they do and what you offer. One of my favorite places to gather that kind of content is the Content Marketing Institute. They got a daily blog. They got some great articles there. Marketing Sherpa, Marketing Profs. So anything related to content marketing, because that is a great, that's the intersection of what they do and what you do, right? It's the, they do marketing, you write these pieces, you do marketing communications, and that's a great way. So it doesn't have to necessarily be something related to content marketing for water and wastewater companies. Now, if you find something like that, absolutely. Those are always great, but don't feel that it has to be ultra specific for it to work. For really, again, 80-90% of the value is in just the fact that you're doing it this way, that you said, hey, I came across this the other day. I thought you'd find it interesting. Hope you're doing well. I also like to add sometimes a sentence that says, hey, Jim, Ed Gandia here. I'm the copywriter you connected with a couple of months ago. I came across this the other day on X topic. Thought you'd find it interesting. Here's a link. Hope you're doing okay. It's a really nice touch. And that way you jog their memory as well. By the way, just another tip there is if you have the last email where you from them where you corresponded, I like to continue that thread and just change the subject line. And that way, if they're going, well, wait a minute, what? Who is this again? They can just take a quick peek and see who it was and how you guys connected. All right, guys. So again, in the chat area, type a capital Q if you have a question or needs feedback on something, and let me know. Be as specific and as focused as possible with your question. That way, we can give you the best possible answer. Let's see, Rochelle had a question here. I'm looking to make my homepage headlines shorter. I've taken all the advice from your feedback from website review. However, since I'm starting out as somewhat of a generalist, I've hit a wall with a way to talk to the people in the organizations and businesses that I'm targeting. Any feedback would greatly appreciate it. So right now she has, I help small to medium-sized companies that sell complex services, products, and ideas. Right, persuasive marketing content and copy. Okay, so it's I think as a overall, it's definitely heading in the right direction because you've kind of left it broad, but you've provided some qualifiers there, specifically the complex services and write copy to help market that. Okay, so I think that's good. That's better than you know, I help companies write persuasive copy and content, or even mid-size, small to mid-size. If you left out the complex services, I think you would be missing a lot. So I think it's now a matter, Rochelle, and I'd like to bring in Susan to get her opinion as well. But here's my take. I would take out the small to medium-size because I don't think that really adds a lot. You know, it's... it's a qualifier that's not really setting yourself apart. And so I would take it out because right now it's really long. So I help companies that sell complex services, products, and ideas write persuasive marketing copy and content and copy. Maybe at the end, I would narrow it. I would just simplify it to write persuasive marketing materials. That would be another suggestion. Let me bring in Susan. Hey, Susan.
Hi there.
Hey, what are your thoughts there?
So I am a minimalist when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I think that less is more. And so I like where you're headed, Ed. I help companies that sell complex ideas, I'd almost even cut it there, write persuasive marketing content or persuasive marketing materials. I really would cut, because you're just trying to say too much, and it's assumed. There's a bit of implied here when you're building a tagline or anything like that. You want to have a little bit of intrigue, so you want to give just something that piques a reader's interest. Someone might read that and go, so you want to, don't overdo it, underdo it, if anything. So less is more when it comes to this. I help growing companies that sell complex ideas write persuasive marketing content or something like that. So, you know, you could play with a couple of different things, but I would even do a word count here and maybe do more, no more than 10 words in a string.
I like that. A
headline, like if you're writing a headline for a blog, I think the rule is somewhere around 8-9 words, 10 at the most. I'd follow the same rule just to make it easy because it is a headline. It's still a headline.
Yeah, and I think for something like this especially, I agree. I think that's great advice. So, Rochelle, let us know if that was helpful. I know this is you had posted about this in the forum and you were struggling with it. Let me know if that were, she said, thank you. Okay. Awesome. Great. Great to hear that. All right. So let's see again, guys, Q in the chat area. Just type in Q if you have a question. And then let me know, that way I can just scan down and make sure I know which ones are the questions as opposed to comments and so forth. And just keep your question as focused as possible so we can give you the best feedback. Corey had a question here. Can one of you clarify how warm emailing and LinkedIn connecting work together? Once I've found the person in their email, do I connect with them first, then follow up with email, or email first and then connect as a follow-up? Any suggested process or timeline and how to use them effectively? Yeah, it's a great question. And so what Corey's asking about here is, you know, you've taught us warm email prospecting. You're also telling us to use LinkedIn, leverage that as best as possible, which, by the way, we just uploaded last week Susan's training on LinkedIn, and that's in session 5. If you haven't gotten to session 5, don't worry. Don't rush to that. Please do the training one step at a time. I don't want you to get overwhelmed. If you've gone through session 5 already and it's been a few weeks, you may want to go back there and check that out because we just updated that on Thursday of last week, I believe. So a week ago today. So how do these work together? Let me give you, there's several different variations of this, but I'm going to simplify it. I'm going to give you one way. I would stick with warm email prospecting first. So you use LinkedIn as the research tool to find the right person's name and title. And then you search for their email address using the tools that I talk about in session 5. And then you send a warm email. Now, after you've done that, I think it's perfectly fine and it makes a lot of sense to then send out a connection request through LinkedIn. And Susan will show you how to do that and how to do it right. And the big part of that, there's several components to it, but the big part of that connection request is to include a personalized note. It's not something like, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn. Don't use the generic one. Send a personalized note. Something like, at least what I'm seeing on my end, is only about 5% of people send a note with it. And trust me, they stand out because there's so few people. However, all you're doing is sending that connection request. You're not also then doubling down and sending a warm email or a warm prospecting message through LinkedIn. OK, Okay. So I would stick with email, use LinkedIn as the research tool. Then once you've sent out the email, I think it makes perfect sense to then send a connection request also via email. Why do that? Why leave it at the connection request? The biggest reason for that is you're kind of creating you're increasing your chances that the prospect will recognize you, because they're going to see a name, Bill Smith, through an email, and then they're going to see this connection request. It may not be on the same day, but you're kind of reinforcing things. And they may not know, like, how do they know you? Where they've seen your name before, but it's going to help. It's kind of like this thing where, you see a commercial on TV. Like, I don't even know what is a commercial anymore. I can't remember the last time I watched a commercial, but you watch a commercial, and then there is, you get this postcard in the mail about the same product. And then you hear about it on the radio. Advertisers know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to approach you from various different angles through different media, and to increase the probability that finally you'll go, you know what? I keep hearing about this. I guess I got to go check it out, right? So it's the same idea. Corey says, Susan's training is awesome. Yeah, great. I'm glad you like that. I'm going to bring Susan here. Hey, Susan.
Hi there.
Thoughts on that? I mean, and I know that's kind of your approach as well, but I wanted to bring you in on the LinkedIn piece.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm hoping that was clear in the second, especially in that part two of the series, as I really talk about that being a place to farm, where you're just kind of making those connections. You could almost do it either way. And so it depends on your approach. Like, if you really want to follow the warm email process, that's more that hunting approach where you're reaching out and you're hoping to get a connection, some kind of a response via email. Maybe have that take the lead. But like you said, use LinkedIn for the research tool. But then if someone I believe I mentioned this in the recording, is that let's say that I send a warm email and somebody says, you know what, thanks, but I'm really, we've got someone on staff or I'm all set right now. Then go back to LinkedIn and say, hey, thanks so much for responding to my email. Let's stay connected here on LinkedIn. It's a great way to just kind of, again, like in your term, double down, where you're kind of hitting them from two different platforms, email as well as LinkedIn. So it's, it's kind of figuring out what works best for you. If somebody just sees where you folks are just getting started and I think warm email is a good place to start. That might be your best first touch, and then LinkedIn as a second touch. And then, like you were saying, Ed, is just follow up. I think that's probably the wiser approach for now, and then see how that goes.
Yeah, and I would say there's another benefit of doing it this way, in that not everyone is logged into LinkedIn every day and throughout the day. So I've seen the stats, is it's not anywhere near what Facebook gets. So you want, but email, like, their people are in their inboxes all day, every day, in and out, because it's also connected to their phone, right? So they're plugged in all the time. So you want to be able to get your name in front of them. But then LinkedIn gives you that kind of safety net. It gives you yet another approach. And then there's some more advanced stuff you could do with LinkedIn from a prospecting standpoint, but I don't want you guys focused on that for a couple of reasons. The biggest one being that I know if you have three or four choices, it's like the decision fatigue. What do you do? So it's best to just stick to one thing that works, and then you can always add to that once it becomes a habit and once you're getting results. Okay. Rochelle said, hey, Ed, today your LinkedIn episode was helpful on LinkedIn. Oh, yeah. So the just published an episode on LinkedIn with Chrissy Weirott. If you haven't checked it out, I think it's episode 157. It's the latest one, b2blauncher.com episode 157. And then Susan's presentation was helpful, and that was added to session 5. Yeah, great to hear that was useful. All right, guys, again, questions. If you have questions, go to the chat area. Just click on chat, type in capital Q so we know it's a question, and or a feedback request still qualifies as a question, and let us know there. Questions. It's an open floor right now. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Mark Silva had posted a question. He pre-submitted. He said, Ed, sorry, I can't join you tonight, but I'm on holiday at the Canary Islands. Well, look at you. That's that's awesome. My question is this. My market, which is gym owners and personal trainers, has shown an early interest in my copywriting skills, but isn't broadly marketing literate. In your opinion, what is the best route to driving traffic toward their website? My first thought was for a series of blog posts on Facebook that direct potential customers toward their new and improved website. Are there any inherent dangers in this, or is there an obviously better way? Thanks, Mark. All right, Mark, so there's a lot of different ways to drive traffic. That's kind of a big, big topic, and I know you're not here live, but I mean, there's all entire courses on that and books and tons of different ways. Let me give you a couple of really specific ways, and one you mentioned, social media, like Facebook, for instance. One is doing editorial, like you said, and then driving people to it. I do like writing short posts on Facebook that are completely editorial and then offering something for free somewhere in there, either in the post or in the comments. That's been proven to be very effective. But before you do that, you got to kind of take a step, which is the creating a Facebook page for the business. So it's better if they do it in the business page than the personal page personal profile. So yeah, set up a business page if they aren't and do that posting there. The second would be to do targeted audiences, custom audiences on Facebook. Now this is paid Facebook advertising, but what they could do is they could create a custom audience based on their local area. One of the great things about these local businesses is you could get really, really specific. You know, people within this radius that like are interested in fitness and this and that, and who also like and or who also like these other pages, these other businesses. And you can do some really, really cool stuff with that. One strategy that I heard that I actually loved for a local business is to do that kind of targeting. And then instead of offering a 20% off or, kind of a free month or the first 2 weeks free, let's say a gym, offer a free gift certificate with a defined value, $100 gift certificate. And here's the beauty of that. When you think about it, what you're trying to do, number one, is you're trying to turn invisible prospects into visible prospects. So meaning you don't know who the prospects are, but you've done that targeting on Facebook. People who now respond to that offer have raised their hand and now they're visible, number one. Number two, a gift certificate has been proven to work better in these situations than a 20% off for 14 days, free membership, that kind of thing, because it has inherent value in the mind of the prospect. You know, it's like, I can use this in I don't have to wait until 20% off sounds like I got to spend money, but $100 gift certificate is like, I got money, I got money I can use toward this. So psychologically, it's been proven to work better. And then what you could do is you could follow up with those people, because the way you're doing it is, so you're sending people to a specific page on the website where they can go ahead and request that gift certificate. At that point, they're opting in. And then every month or so, you can just follow up with them. Hey, would you like to go ahead and take advantage of your gift certificate this month? Right? And it's a timing issue. Only 10% of prospects, relatively speaking, are ready to take an action at any given time, ready to buy. But the other 90%, at least half of them, will be ready at some point. So why not go ahead and uncover them, make them visible? Now you have very specific people to follow up with. And over the course of the next few months, just follow up about once a month or so, send those people an email, just really quick. Just ask a question and start a conversation with them. And every month, I guarantee you that people will go ahead and start taking up on it. The amount and all that, you can test that, but those are two great ways to get that done. Again, how to drive traffic to a website for a local business, lots of different ways. those are just two that that I know work, and I would recommend you check out. All right. So again, guys, if you got a question or need feedback on anything, type in a capital Q in the chat area, and that will show me that it is a question, and I'll go ahead and address it here. Susan and I will address it. Andrea had submitted a question about LinkedIn. The LinkedIn podcast mentioned doing a personalized connection message without using InMail. How is that done? All right. So Susan, I'm going to bring you in. So she's talking about, hey, you send a personalized connection request, but you can also include a note. I know you got some limits there in terms of characters, but can you go ahead and let them know where they can do that?
Sure. So, Andrea, I did see that question. I think you posted it in Facebook, and I answered, but let me go through it for you again so that hopefully this will be a little bit clearer. So InMail is something completely different from connection requests and or invites. So when you are in LinkedIn and you find a person that you want to connect with, you want to invite, you go to their profile so that you can see all the information about them. You want to be able to see their picture, you want to be able to see their summary, all of that stuff. So you're looking just at them. And somewhere on that page, usually just below the image, their headshot is a big blue connect button. When you press that, when you click on that, it pops up a separate screen and it asks you, do you want to add a customized note? And always click that and then put in, you've got about 300 characters to work with. That is free, and that is free with the free account. And you can do, there probably is a limit to how many connection requests you can send per month with a free account. They may be changing that. That's one of those parameters that they don't really talk about. It just gets changed. And so I don't know what the limit is. I've never reached it with a free account, and I send out a lot of invites. So I don't think you'll have a problem. And if you cannot find the big blue connect button, if you look at that same profile on the right-hand side at the top, right up at the top of the header, there's three little dots or an ellipsis. If you click on that, it'll give you a drop-down list, and in that list will be the word connect. So it works the same as the big blue button. It's just a little hidden, so you got to dig for it a little bit further. InMail is just like messaging. It's just like texting somebody. It really is designed to just reach out, and so it is free. If I am already a first-level connection with someone, InMail, I can text back and forth or InMail back and forth unlimited. If it's someone I'm not yet connected to, I would need to upgrade to a paid account and have, I think, 15 to 20 InMails per month that I could then send to people. So two very different functions. And I saw that question and I thought, I think there's some confusion here about what they do. So Connect is completely separate. So you want to focus on connecting, and don't use InMail for anything unless you've already are connected with someone and you want to send them maybe a follow-up or share something with them, something along those lines. So I'm hoping that that clears it up. If you would just type in the chat and let me know if that makes more sense, and if there's anything else I can help you with there.
You know, and Susan, one thing that, and I think you and I have talked about this, that a question that often comes up, and I want to mention it here because I bet that some of you guys were asking yourselves the same thing is, you know, if I can't find somebody's email address to send them a warm email, should I send them an InMail message through LinkedIn? Or should I just start with, should I keep everything in InMail? And my suggestion is not to do that. I'd rather see you send a connection request like Susan teaches you in session 5. And here's the thing, InMail a few years ago was actually working fairly well. But it just like anything, you know, we can't have nice things, and people started abusing it, right? And what now people don't pay attention to InMail nearly as much as they did. You're much better off with email. If you're going to send a warm email, warm emails work much better through email than they do through InMail and LinkedIn.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. And there's people out there, Ed, that would strongly disagree with us, but I happen to agree with that. I think for what this group of people, what you folks are trying to accomplish. Warm emails are easier to manage. They're just, I just think it's a better option for the kind of connection, the kind of work that you're trying to do, and they're trying to, you know, reach out to people. I think warm emails are a better option. And LinkedIn is a whole nother animal. There's lots of different add-on tools that you can get into. But again, I wouldn't worry about it. Use it for the resource that it is, this great database of information to figure out who to connect with. And then, warm email is probably your best first line of defense.
Perfect. All right. So while I'm waiting for questions, and again, if you have a question at any point, type in a capital Q in your question, but I'd like to check in with you guys. If you could let me know in the chat box, what's been most helpful for you so far today in this call? So what's been a good insight? What's more clear for you right now? Just let me know. Let us know here in the chat area. Just type in what's been most helpful for you so far during this call. You know, I find, Susan, that we have been kind of conditioned to find the easiest, most efficient way out. And the thing is, that's everybody's approach, right? Everyone is trying to automate as much as possible. Everyone's trying to make it as easy as possible. I'm kind of a contrarian that way, and then I'm looking to see what everybody else is doing and where they're creating noise, and then I'm going in the opposite direction because I know I can really stand out. And I say this all the time, 80 to 90% of the battle is really standing out, because if you can get the attention of a prospect by being different, then at least your message can be heard.
I agree. And, you know, it's interesting because we see a lot of things. I know I see a lot of advertisements, if you will, and promotions for different folks out there saying, hey, you know, build your list of 10,000 people and, and all of this stuff. And, you know, to me, it's like, I don't want 10,000 people on my email list, at least not right now, not for what I'm doing. And I think I'm not that far ahead of where everyone in this group is, in the sense that I'm looking to connect with the right people, the best people that I can, and then treat them well. And by that, I mean the warm emails saying, hey, just checking in, saw this article, thought you would appreciate it. Really doing an approach that is unfortunately a bit time consuming, if you will. And it's not a sprint. I talk about that on LinkedIn too. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And I think we need to, you can't just blast 10,000 people and expect any kind of a return. That's not the type of work we're offering, and that's not the type of service that we're offering. So I think you have to match your approach with what you're offering, and this is a personal service business. It's really a service that you're providing, and it's not a product, obviously. So I think it's important to make sure that your strategy and your approach match that, hey, I'm not a pest, and I care about what you have going on, and I really want to help you. And those are the kinds of messages that for me personally, I want to send and make sure that that's what's being received on the other side. So that's
Few people are sending those, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the thing. Yep. Exactly.
So a couple of people have chimed in here. From Monique's, most helpful so far has been Susan's explanation about the difference between use of InMail and connections. Corey said, helpful to figure out how LinkedIn fits into the overall prospecting strategy. Awesome. Rochelle says, her biggest takeaway so far, driving home the importance of warm emails and nurturing.
Great.
For Randy, most valuable so far, LinkedIn connecting. LinkedIn, man, today is LinkedIn
it's
day.
LinkedIn, yeah, that's great.
August 2nd, it's official LinkedIn day. Andrea says the appropriate way to use warm emails and LinkedIn together. Yeah,
great.
Awesome. And again, more advanced strategies, guys, but really it's right now, it's about how do we keep it as simple as possible. I'm a big believer in just-in-time training, not just-in-case. So the best thing you could do is just stick to what we're teaching here, follow that, because it's really more about first getting some results, getting some momentum by developing the right kind of habits, and then you can always refine. Just tell people all the time, hey, you got to build a foundation, you got to put the walls up and all that before you start trying paint color. Mm-hmm. All right, Monique had a question here. I've seen LinkedIn accounts where I did not see the option to connect, no big connect button on the left, and only the option to follow when I click on the right. Ah, any explanation for this, Susan? That's a great question.
Absolutely. And so as I discuss in the first part, the first session, is that the network works in those concentric circles. So the further that someone gets away from you in terms of their connectedness to you, LinkedIn makes it just a little more challenging, I guess, to connect with them. So when you're on their profile, you're looking at their face, you want to, all the way on the right-hand side, all the way at the top, towards the top, you'll see three dots, that ellipsis, and that's where you just click on that or hover over it, and it'll pop a drop down, and it should show you a whole bunch of different options. Usually, I think, like six-ish options in that drop down, and one of them will be the word connect. There'll be a little plus sign next to it in the word connect, and that's just a workaround. So it's just a matter of, again, connection. How close am I to them, and is LinkedIn going to make it easy for me or not? So in this case, it's just looking a little bit deeper and digging a little bit deeper to find that option to connect. Once you click that, it'll pop up that extra little screen that says, do you want to send a customized invitation? You click yes, add a message, and away you go. So hopefully that clears it up.
Awesome. Okay. So again, guys, at open floor right now. So if you have questions, need feedback, type in capital Q in the chat area and let us know. Let us know what you've got. Keep your question as focused as possible so we can give you the best possible direction. Quiet group today.
I guess.
So have you been waiting? I know I got another group where as soon as we start wrapping up, then that's when people say, oh, well, wait a minute, then I'll go ahead and chime in now. They're really shy. You guys aren't as shy as they are, but still. One of the questions that had come up in another group was about, since we've been talking about warm emailing and prospecting and so forth. By the way, for those of you who are not up to session 5 yet, don't worry. Here's the cool thing about these calls is we always record them. So if I were you, and some of the stuff sounds really interesting, but you want to be able to revisit it later when you have the right context, you can always just jot down what call it was, you know, August 2nd, and then come back to this. And it might make more sense. But I was getting asked, and I get asked this all the time, what response rate can I expect from warm email prospecting, and what do you consider a response? Two different questions. So my experience has been, not just my own, but from my coaching clients over the years, a 5%, so 1 in 20, is about average. And what do I mean by a response? Something that's either yes, let's talk, or positive in that, hey, maybe, but not now. We're okay for now. I consider it a response because it's still positive. It just means that it's just not, you know, not at the moment. It could be in the future. A negative response is pretty obvious. It's like, no, we don't do any marketing or we will never use an outside writer. Like something really definite like that. Or no response is really the most common thing you'll get, is no response. And that's just the case with any direct response marketing vehicle or approach. But the more specific you are in your messaging and positioning, the higher the response rate on average. So for example, if let's just use Rochelle's example. She's starting as a generalist and she is making the best decision totally. So I'm not using you as a bad example or anything like that, Rochelle, just using you as an example of, you know, you're a bit more on the general side, might experience more of that 5% response rate over time. And I have to specify that over time. Don't send out 10 warm emails and say, Ed, I haven't gotten any responses yet. Your 5% thing doesn't really apply to me. That's not enough of a number to be statistically valid, okay? That's why I ask you guys in the training to think of it in terms of groups of 100. that's more statistically valid. So you might be closer to the 5% side, everything else being equal, as opposed to someone who targets, let's say, credit unions, companies that sell to credit unions. That's very, very specific. There's no right or wrong here. You got to position yourself based on all those factors that we talked about in session one. And everyone here in this group is different, but it's just the way it is. I mean, the more specific you can be in your targeting, in your positioning, in your messaging, the better the response rate on average. Now, if you're starting out as more of a generalist, or if you're somewhere in that sweet spot that we talked about, where you're not ultra specific, but you're also not ultra broad, meaning I'll write anything for anybody, then that's okay. Keep in mind that you'll be able to get more specific as your business grows. You'll be able to go from, I help companies who sell complex ideas, to I help company professional service companies that sell complex services, you know, that kind of thing. Notice how now you're getting a little bit more specific, and then you might be able to narrow it down to business consultants, and then they might even get over the years to consultants in the specific area, you know. So that will happen. And then as you move, two things will happen. Your response rates will go up, and then other marketing initiatives are going to start helping you bolster your prospecting and your lead generation efforts. Word of mouth, referrals, you're going to do some content marketing. So everything starts getting easier in a way in that department. So don't worry. It's not always going to be, you know, every day, boom, 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 knocking on a ton of doors. That's exhausting and it's not sustainable. All right, Rochelle had a question here about also a warm email question. When sending warm emails to your professional network, what are the buckets you recommend to categorize lists to start for email lists? Okay, here's how I, in Rochelle, let me see if I can find you. Hey, Rochelle, I just unmuted you. Hey, it's a great question, but let me make sure I understand it. So you're saying when you're starting to put together your email list and you're reaching out to your professional network, how do you categorize them? In what way?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep. Can hear you fine.
Okay. I saw it somewhere. I don't know if it was on a podcast of yours or an episode. I can't really remember, but you had mentioned something about like the buckets for lead nurturing, and you explained it in such a way that it was really simple, and that's what I'm trying to do right now, so it's not as intimidating to do that lead nurturing. Like you had said something along the lines of like not yet readies, and
oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Have you? And you said you've gone through. Where are you right now? What session have you completed?
I just completed session 5, but I also simultaneously like listen to your podcast episodes, and so I'm, you know, combining information from different areas, I guess.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let me first of all say that I'm going to talk about lead nurturing in session 8. So.
Okay.
Don't worry about that right now. Lead nurturing, guys, is staying in touch with your prospects who are not yet ready. You know, we talked a few minutes ago about prospects who say, you know, maybe at some point or not right now, but I'll keep your information handy or feel free to touch base with me again later this year. Those are not yet ready prospects. It's a timing issue. It's not that they don't do the stuff. It's not that they might not be interested. It's just that there's no need or interest right now. So, what you want to do is you want to nurture those. You want to kind of follow up in a non-threatening way. Now, that's what I call your lead nurturing bucket. And that's the only bucket that I really consider. I wouldn't start getting into different kinds of buckets. I just call it lead nurturing bucket because it's kind of like a pile that ends up growing. So you want to put it in a bucket so they don't get lost, you know? It's kind of like pocket change. Right now, though, when you're knocking on doors and you're reaching out to your network and to some cold prospects, you don't want to categorize them because there are two reasons. First of all, it's going to yield very little value or advantage. And the second reason is that it can become distracting and a stalling tactic. I'm not saying you would do that, but then the exercise becomes, okay, how do I organize these people better instead of like, man, let me just get some emails out the door. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally get that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So one thing for you and guys, for everybody here on this call, I know I talk about sending these in like batches of 5 to 10, like come up with 5 to 10 prospects and or contacts in your network and then send them out. I actually prefer doing like one or two at a time, because if when you build a list, by the time you go back to the first contact to your company you put on your list, let's just talk about cold prospects now, you would have forgotten why you put them on there. So it's more effective, I find, to, hey, I find ABC company and this is cool what they're doing here. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and mention that in my warm email. Jane, I noticed that, you're doing this or whatever. In fact, that's why I'm reaching out. I work with, these types of companies to help them do X. Would it make, here's a page on my website that tells you a little bit more. Would it make sense to connect? That's going to be a lot more effective and efficient than trying to come up with a list, even if as small as 10, and then going back to number one and trying to get them out the door. In other words, don't batch process. Get them out as you come across them, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I just want to make sure I got the... Okay, cool. All right, so a couple other questions here. And I know... Susan, you got to leave in a few minutes, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and just mentioning that for everybody, in case you have a LinkedIn question, I want to make sure that we don't leave you hanging. But if you have one, once Susan's gone, she's got to leave for an appointment. We can always address it in the forum. So
absolutely. And I see Christine Mullen was able to find us. She actually posted in Facebook saying, "I can't get in," and so I sent her another invite to this call. So I'm so glad she was able to jump in here and join us. So her question.
Oh, okay,
is
good.
Next. Yep.
All right. Cool. Let us know, Christine, by the way, what trouble you're having. So since we're implementing Zoom right now, we want to make sure that if we start seeing patterns and or potential problems or FAQs, that we can address them. So Christine, in fact, had a question. I've started to put my network list together and have a large network at 20 names on the list. I won't have viable email addresses for all of them, but I'll probably have at least 50. Do I go through all of them, send all those 50 emails first before I send to any solid prospects? I have 200 names, not 20 names. Okay, that makes sense. Yes, I would. And here's why, Christine. So Christine's asking, for those of you who got into session 5, you'll see that I'm going to have you reach out to your personal and professional contacts first. And I'm going to show you how to prioritize them and in session 4. So don't worry. This is going to be easy to figure out once you get there. But do I reach out to those first before I reach out to cold prospects? Do I mix them up? I'm a big proponent of reaching out to your network first. In the order of priority based on the list Kickstarter matrix that I teach you, because there's a decent probability that something will come out of that. And it's a heck of a lot easier to reach out or go out to make outreach to your cold prospects when you have some activity or maybe even a client under your belt than it is to go completely cold with nothing. So it's better to get something going with your network, even if it's, it's a massage therapist. And, even though I'm, my target market is insurance companies, it doesn't matter. Even if you can get something from somebody, what you'll learn there is invaluable at this point. And since we're stair-stepping our way to success, that's really what matters, is momentum. It's all about just developing the habits. It's about learning. It's about stair-stepping. It's about trading up from one client to the next and keep moving up the value scale. And with somebody like you, Christine, with that many contacts, I think you're going to find something there, and then you're going to be better prepared to go after solid prospects, which are really cold prospects that have never heard of you. Monique says, My niche is senior living. That is my focus on my website. However, I've been going to local small business groups to take advantage of any business I can get. But there are two different markets. What are your thoughts on how I can talk to my local group about still considering me to help them with their business? Okay, so I like your approach, Monique, because you got a very specific target market. However, if you're not getting any traction yet, you're not messing around. You're still networking. You're still looking to see what you can get in the door. And I think that's really, really smart. Some of the most successful people I know, that's how they started. They didn't care. Even though they were focused in one market, they didn't care where the business came from. They were just trying to get some activity. They wanted something to happen. And, in terms of momentum and motivation, that is so important. So first of all, congratulations for doing that. That's fantastic. What I would say is keep your focus the way you have it on your website. When you're talking to people in your network, when you are networking locally, what you can do is you can say, this is what I do. My specialty is working with senior market or, however you want to describe it. However, I also work with companies and businesses and entrepreneurs in other industries. And you've already said what you do, right? So here's what I do. This is my focus. However, I also work with these types of businesses and entrepreneurs. This is what I bring to the table would be, what makes you different. In your what makes you different, you may have to have a different version that's outside of senior living and health and wellness or whatever that might be. Okay. And that's fine. And I'd rather see you get something there because, again, it's a fantastic learning experience than I would to just, keep knocking on these doors and then get discouraged. Okay. So if you may have heard the story. My first paying client was a potato chip company. I mean, I was positioned to go after software companies. That was my messaging. My positioning was all about software, high tech. But I was trying to generate any activity, some activity. I also did some work through my network, through a second cousin of mine who was a business consultant for the food and beverage industry. And I wrote a sales letter and lead generation letter for him. And it was paying. I mean, I charged $200, but it was something. And I learned a lot just working with a client, even if it's somebody in my network, somebody I knew. So it's okay. You can stair step your way from that to the companies in the market that you're going after. There's no danger that, if I start doing that, then that's all I'll have. It's okay. For two reasons. First of all, you'll have momentum, your confidence will be better. And second reason, you'll have cash coming in the door, even if it's just a little bit. And that's okay. And I'd say actually a third reason to do this. Many times we think we know we're going to go in one direction, but then these things happen. And then we realize that there's this whole other market or this type of writing or anything like that, that's actually better suited for us. So we ended up pivoting. And I think it's a totally healthy thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. The goal is not to stick to the original plan. Your goal is to move in a certain direction, isn't it? Right? It's to be able to write for a living and get paid for that. And if it's not the flavor that you originally envisioned, I think you need to be flexible enough to adapt. So I'm not saying that's necessarily what's going to happen for you, Monique, but it's really, that's where the serendipity can come in for you. Does that make sense, Monique? Was that helpful? Let me know in the chat area. Just let me know either way. All right, guys. So again, if you have a question, type in capital Q in the chat area. Let me know there. And I can always bring you in, of course, if we have to have a conversation, if I'm not sure what you mean. And that's where we're having our conversation here today. An open floor right now if anyone has a question. Great discussion, by the way. Great chat today. So curious to know while we're waiting, let me know in the chat area, what's been your top insider or takeaway for today? And some of you have already chimed in, but I'd love, now that we've had a few more discussions, what's been even just a helpful insight or takeaway. Let me know, put T for takeaway in the chat box, and let me know what's been helpful for you. Monique says, yes, I find the local group needs a lot more education about copywriting. Absolutely. That's, you know, that's one of the downsides, is they're not necessarily going to get it. But, you know, that's where you can come in with some lower fees, right? Because, all right, something might be worth $1,000, but if you can say, hey, normally I charge $1,000 for that, but you can charge $200, and you just let them know why you're looking to bulk up your portfolio, that could be a great win-win. Rochelle says, big takeaway right now, be open to different areas and course correct. Yeah. Good stuff. Francis asks, if my InMail is not very effective, is there any reason to upgrade my LinkedIn service? All right, yeah. So Francis is referring to earlier when I said, hey, you know, InMail is not the way to prospect for clients. Don't send warm emails through LinkedIn's InMail system. Are there any other reasons to upgrade to a premium LinkedIn account? It's a great question. Here's where things are today. It used to be that you could get away with a free LinkedIn account. They had so much they were giving away there on the free that it made little sense, in my opinion, to upgrade. However, little by little, especially after the Microsoft acquisition, it's gotten harder to get real value out of a free LinkedIn account. You're going to hit, if you use it for research purposes alone, you're going to hit the research commercial limit very, very quickly. So my recommendation is, if you're serious about this business, I'm not affiliated with LinkedIn in any way, but I just strongly suggest that you upgrade to a premium account. I had the business plus, I think it's called, it's the business account. I think it's $60 a month. I recently upgraded to Sales Navigator, which is $20 more. So it's $80 a month, because I'm experimenting with that and to see if it's worth the additional $20. You could do a lot of research and get very granular with the business premium account. With Sales Navigator, it can get even more granular with your research. In fact, Monique just reminded me of this. You can get a 30-day free trial for premium, so you can check it out, see what you think. So if you've been using free, you'll quickly see the difference when you try the premium free for 30 days, and then you'll be able to make that decision. But my recommendation is, you know, there's a cost of doing business, guys, and that's just part of it. You know, if one of the great things about this business is really not a lot of cost, but this is one of them. One that's worth it. That's worth. Of course, you know, once you do it, then, you know, just make sure that you're getting the most out of LinkedIn, that you're using it as best you can, that you're getting value from it. Okay, let's see, another question here. This is from Michael. Michael says, please, can you push me in the right direction to get through the overwhelm on building a website? Is it worth learning WordPress and doing it myself, which I can control, versus hiring a builder or designer? It's a great question, Michael, but it really depends on where you are, what you like, how you value your time, and what you're willing to do. I have a couple of suggestions for you. One is, if you are not really keen on learning WordPress and getting through that, if you've already tried it and you feel it's a hassle, I personally feel it's a hassle. But that's just me and my personality and what I like to do and not like to do. It's just, I don't really like tinkering with things like that. You could either hire somebody to do it, or before you do that, my suggestion would be to try Squarespace or one of the website builders out there. There's Strikingly. I know a couple of you have had really good luck with Strikingly. Basically, it makes it so much easier and faster. You can go in, build a beautiful site, very simple, beautiful site, very quickly. That they already supply you with the templates, they supply you with a website hosting and everything, make it super, super easy, and it's very affordable. You're limited to the different templates and what you can do with them and how you can customize them, but you'll be able to get a website that's nice, clean, and professional, up and running quickly without the hassle. I find that website builders are a good short-term solution. And right now, what you're trying to do is to get moving as quickly as possible. You don't want to get stuck in the website phase for too long, or you're going to lose hope, you're going to lose momentum. So my advice would be to try that first. If you don't like it, if it's still too much for you, then I would look into hiring somebody. You can hire a virtual assistant out there on Upwork. But the upside, or the downside of hiring someone is... Who do I pick? I mean, there's like thousands of them out there, and it becomes kind of a difficult decision. So you could try it, and you got to manage them as well. We offer website building as well. My team has been doing this for a while, and they're really, really good at it. So I'll make them available to you guys if you're interested. I can send you the details. Just send me an email, either to me or to our support team. ed@b2blauncher.com, put website in the subject line so I know what you're asking about, and I'll reply with the details. So we also offer kind of a complete website building service. We don't write the copy, but we build your website and get it started for you. So something else to consider. But yeah, Michael, the most important thing, and guys, just in general, don't get stuck in the website section. So figure out why you're stalling, and let's look at some options. If you're having trouble, let me know. And because if you don't get unstuck, you're gonna lose hope. Monique had a question for Susan. I was wondering, what is the difference between Sales Navigator and the other premium for $60 that Ed had before? I forgot the name. Yeah, Business Plus, I think it's called. So Susan had to run to an appointment, just kind of conflicted last minute thing, Monique, but I'm going to copy and paste this or if you want to put it in the forum, and she'll respond to you. The biggest differences, there are several other minor ones, but the two big differences are this. Sales Navigator becomes kind of its own CRM, contact management system, in that you can do searches and then save people that you've searched and found into kind of its own built-in contact management tool. So Sales Navigator is very slick that way. Again, I'm just starting to play with it, so I can't really speak to the specifics of that. But if you're looking for kind of, because here's what happens. You find leads, and then if you have your own separate contact management system, such as HubSpot, which is free and great, now you have to take that information and copy and paste it, and like it's already there in LinkedIn, but now you got to transfer it and somehow to your contact management system. With Sales Navigator, it's all there, which is hugely convenient. The other big benefit is that the search, advanced search capabilities, are even more specific. There's a lot more. There are more search fields and criteria that you can indicate, so that can be valuable as well. So those are the two big ones as I see it. But again, we can post this in the forum, and I know Susan will get back to you. The argument for Sales Navigator is at $20 more a month, it's a small price to pay for the difference. However, if you're not going to use those features, then $20 is $20. I've heard arguments both ways. It just really it depends on what your situation is like, what's best for you. All right, guys, I don't see any other questions. Let's as we wrap up, let's do this. I'd love to hear from you in the chat area. If you can type in a capital A right now, just go in there, type capital A, and then let me know what is the top action item you need to take to move things forward. I want to make sure you leave with something concrete. I'm sure you got a couple of things, but give me the one thing that, between now and next week, the end of next week, what is the one thing that you are committed to doing, to taking action on, to move your launch forward? Just type in a capital A and let me know in the chat area. Let's see. Oh, Michael, glad that was helpful. Thanks for letting me know. All right. So Shyla says to finish my website. Yeah, that's a big step. Good one. Good stuff. So let us know, Shyla, how you do. Keep us posted on that. Michael, get my website active. Rochelle says, top action items, sending emails, following the sessions, baby steps. Absolutely. It's all about the baby steps. Randy says, top action item, working with Jessica to complete the website build. That's right. Randy's working, in fact. So Randy's working with my team on getting his website up. Good stuff, Randy. I can't wait to see the finished product. Corey, top action items, send out at least 20 warm emails and follow up with connections in LinkedIn. That's a great goal. Great to have you back, by the way. Hope you had a good vacation, Corey. Andrea says, start making more LinkedIn connections, especially with those who receive warm emails. Yeah, there you go. Colleen, keep prospecting. Yes. Jim says, top action item, set up my LinkedIn profile. Monique, top action item, prospecting. Warm emails and LinkedIn connections. Yes, love it. Guys, you know what? One thing I like to do is just to set a goal. At least what might help if you're having a hard time kind of getting going with prospecting, if you're already there, set a goal for time allotted to your prospecting. So let's say, hey, it's going to be an hour a day or 30 minutes a day. I would actually err on the side of caution on the shorter side, because there's a higher probability that you will do it. So give yourself a time goal at first rather than a number goal. Instead, I'm going to send out 40 warm emails next week. If you're starting out, I'd rather see you set a goal for how much time you're going to dedicate to the warm email process next week. Once you get the hang of it, then you'll know what's realistic and what's not realistic. All right. Corey says, great advice. I like 1 hour a day. Yeah. And if here's what I would say, Corey, if you're having trouble, like if you miss a couple of days, instead of beating yourself up, which is, I know what I do, it's like, what's wrong with me? Bring it down. So say 30 minutes. Bring it down to a level where you're almost embarrassed to tell somebody that you're only spending 30 minutes or to that amount of time. Because what will happen is it's so embarrassingly low a number that the probability of you doing it goes up, because you're telling yourself, well, I mean, it'd be a shame if I didn't get this done. what does that say about me, you know? All right, anybody else? Top action item for the next week to get things moving. I don't see anybody else. So guys, great session today. Loved your questions. Love that you guys are just taking action, moving forward. So keep it up. Susan and I are at your disposal in the forum. Please use us. If you need feedback, you have questions, don't be shy. Listen, if you got a question, there's a very high probability. Believe me, I've been doing this program for 5.5 years. Whatever questions you have, whatever concerns you have, I've heard them before, you know? So there's a very good probability that others are wondering the same thing or have the same question or challenge. Don't be shy about letting us know, okay? We're here for you. All right, guys, have a great rest of the week, fantastic weekend, and we'll continue that conversation in the forum. You guys take good care.